All right. And that, of course, was the Decibel Demons themselves, Judas Priest. And I'm your good buddy, Dr. Decibel. And even better than that, I am joined right now on the phone live with Scott Travis, the drummer of Judas Priest. How's it going, buddy?
Fantastic, man. Can I just sing a real thing? Somebody get me a doctor.
Yeah. Right on, man. So Judas Priest is out touring behind the 50th anniversary. Does that just blow you away sometimes when you think about it?
Yeah, it really does when you or anyone mentions the word 50, because we all know 50 is a real monumental achievement, whether you've been married for 50 years, and we all have known some people like that, or you've had a business or been doing, or even living 50 years is an accomplishment nowadays. So to be able to have made music, obviously I wasn't there for the whole 50 years, but certainly Rob and Ian were, and the band in its what do you call it? Just its formula. You know what I mean? Judas Priest as a thing, a creation that we don't know where it came from, but yeah, 50 years is remarkable, to say the least.
You know, that mm-hmm. people enjoy your music that long is one thing. To still be creating it and touring it and having people receive it is a whole other ball game.
Yeah, it's the only, dare I say, it's not a curse really, but you know, blessing and a curse, as the expression goes, because when we have to put a set list together, we're only going to play for an hour and 30 or 40 minutes, give or take. And then to have 50 years of music to choose from becomes difficult. But in other words, it's a good problem to have. Well, I'm just being silly when I say it's a problem, but it makes it challenging because you want to try and put a little bit of everything in there. But we're so grateful just to be above ground, and all of us have survived the recent pandemic, and our hearts and thoughts are always out with people that didn't survive, or people that suffered emotionally or financially and certainly physically. But it's a new way of thinking, man. We're all very appreciative to be here. 50 years is unbelievable.
It is a new way of thinking, and I know what you mean. 2020 made me rethink a lot of things. Bringing up the set list, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Word on the street is that Priest has been unearthing some gems that may not have been played live, if ever. Is that maybe something we can look forward to here in Denver?
Yes, absolutely. You're 100% correct. Where we went back in the catalog and all the way back to Rockarola, the album, and started listening to songs, and how it generally works is, you know, weeks and months before we actually get together and start jamming, we all send emails to each other about what songs we'd like to do. Of course, we know we always have to do some of the Priest staple songs, and we'll certainly keep those in the set. But we always try and pull a new rabbit out of the hat. And again, talking about the 50 years, there's lots to choose from. And but yeah, we got some new old songs that Priest has either never done live, or if they did, it was long, long time ago. So yeah, it's fun. It's always fun to re-listen to those older songs. Go, wow, how can we keep it real, but you know, put a 2021 spin on it? But we'll do some for you for sure.
That's fantastic. I attended my first pre-show in '83. Was at the US Festival.
Wow.
To look forward to something that's never been played live, that's going to be a real treat. Speaking of audience and age and demographic, I've been going to pre-shows for a long time. I was a young man when I first started going to pre-shows, and it's like the Matthew McConaughey says, it's like, man, I get older, but the crowd stays the same age. I am blown away by how young some of your fans are.
Yeah, that's a good point. And when you do festivals, because it's a general admission situation, you really see that variety in the age group. Well, actually, you see it everywhere. You're going to see it in amphitheaters here in America, because it's a wide range of people, and there's no age restriction. So yes, you do see people who bring their kids, or generally it just could be teenagers that are coming to see their first rock concert, or maybe just their first Judas Priest concert. So it's that also keeps us invigorated, because again, just seeing the wide range in the age group is it's amazing to see. It's fun, and you feel like, wow, we've got some. If they like us, you know, we have a new fan for the next 5-10 years, if we're even around that long. I'm jealous of the fact, going back to, you were at the US Festival, because I saw Priest for the first time, I think, in 1980, and then I saw him again in 81. But I was living in Virginia, where I grew up and was born. And so when I heard about that US Festival thing, and of course, back then, people don't understand, we didn't have social media, so you couldn't click on this little device in your hand called a phone and look at pictures and see people with live updates. But you heard about this amazing concert with all these killer bands, Scorpions, Van Halen, Judas Priest, and Triumph, and yada yada. And I was so jealous, because obviously I was a long way from California. But congratulations, man. That must have been something.
I was very lucky to grow up in Southern California, because I got to experience that whole in the 80s, and it was pretty fantastic. Yeah, man, that was the day that I decided that heavy metal was for me, and it was when Rob pulled the Harley out.
Right
and
on.
And held
right
that
on.
For leather, and I was sold, man. And that was a great time. You know, Quiet Riot kicked it off there. Motley Crue kicked it off there. A lot of bands were just emerging from a scene that was about to really, really, really explode. So that takes me to my next question. Do we have a new album that we can look forward to? Is there any new music coming down the pipeline? I've been pretty impressed with the recent offerings of albums in the last several years. Is that something we could look forward to in the future?
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, during the pandemic, it gave a lot of artists, not just us, but a lot of people gave them chances to get in studios and or even just writing rooms per se, and places where everyone's comfortable and has been tested and vaccinated, yada yada. But so there's lots of new music that's been written. Not all of it's been recorded yet, but we plan on doing that at the tail end of this North American leg, which ends about middle of November. So we've got November, December to do some recording, and absolutely we want to have something out in 2022. I certainly couldn't put a give you a month, but as I was saying, we got about 15 months between now and the end of 2022, so I'd be surprised if we don't have something out by then, but that's our goal for sure.
Absolutely fantastic. I want to take you back to Virginia for just a minute. You mentioned that's where you're from. I heard a story that as a young man, you were a Priest fan.
Oh, boy, I know exactly where you're going. Yeah,
dreams
go
of setting up your drum kit out in the parking lot at the Hampton Coliseum, and hopefully Priest would cruise by and hear you and invite you along on tour. Is that true?
Yeah, and you know, it makes perfect sense, because let's break it down, which I've done many, many times now. So I'm an unknown kid, and I have my drums set up in a parking lot. The band is literally at that point of Screaming for Vengeance. So they're on their biggest, they're at the height of their career at that point. They're on their biggest tour. They come around on the tour bus, and I'm thinking, by the way, I'm an American. They're all British. I'm thinking, well, yeah, they're in the middle of this successful tour. They're just going to tell their drummer, hey, take a hike. We're going to pick up this kid literally off the street, put him in the bus. We don't know him from Adam. He might be a mass murderer or whatever, or anything in between. And so, by the way, they have a drummer who's on the bus going, hey, what's going on? But, no, that's how both desperate and naive, you know, when you really, really, really want to make it and you want to be in a better situation than you're currently in as far as your locale and the band you might be playing with at the time. But I had seen Priest, like I said, twice at that point, and I really, really thought, man, I need to be in this band. But here's the real trip about the whole story is that roughly was 1981. And literally, I auditioned for the band at the tail end of 1989 and then obviously joined them in 90 with Painkiller. So it was only about another 9 years that I had to wait. But it's not that long.
And didn't you, well, and isn't there a little more to that story? Didn't you, in between that time, somehow finagle your way backstage and slip a tape into somebody's hand?
Very close. But hold on, again, so stupid of me. I didn't even have a tape, dude. I had pictures of my drum kit. So again, I don't know about you or other musicians that might be listening to this interview, but when you go and you're looking for other musicians to join your band or your project, you really just need to see a picture, don't you? I mean, that pretty much sums it up.
Well,
but,
it's the 80s. Wait, back up. Let's be fair. This is the 80s we're talking about here, the age of MTV and all of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, MTV had kind of just started around that point, but yeah, I didn't even have an audio cassette or anything. I just had a cool picture of what I thought was my cool drum set and me, and thinking, well, here's my kit and here's me. So clearly you guys we're going to do this, right? Let's do this thing. But like I said, that all of that is so ridiculous and so crazy sounding. But when you really factor in the fact that it was about 8-9 years later, I don't even know how it happened.
Isn't again, that ridiculous?
I was still from Virginia, and they were still from Britain. So I 31 years later, I don't have a reason for it, to be honest.
It's not that ridiculous, and I think it speaks to, if you have a dream, don't ever let anything stand in your way.
Pretty much, yeah. No matter how crazy, but yeah, absolutely.
I've got one more question for you. I know you're busy, so we're going to let you go. I wanted to ask, you may not be at liberty to speak about this, and if so, that's fine. Throughout history, musical groups that are contemporaries have pushed each other to become the greatest, whether it be a friendly or not so friendly rivalry. A few examples would be the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, Blur and Oasis, Benny Goodman and Chick Webb. Heavy metal's no different. I would say for me and for many others, that pinnacle would be Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. There were some rumors a couple of years ago that there would be a co-headlining tour of Priest and Maiden. Those rumors have recently resurfaced as soon as about a month ago. Can you confirm or deny any of this?
Well, I can't confirm that that's been talked about, but I tell you what, we all remember. Matter of fact, I told you the first time I had seen Priest, Iron Maiden was opening up for them, and they still had Paul Di'Anna in the band with Maiden. And so that we know they toured together back then. I think they toured later on, again, before I was in Judas Priest, but I think they toured when Dickinson was in Maiden, so it was Maiden and Priest. I think they did some shows then. The rumor you're talking about, I remember we were playing the name of the festival. It was in the UK for sure, and Steve Harris came out, and he might have had one of his other, I think he has a baby band somewhere, but he might have been out to see them. But nonetheless, he stayed for our set. And it was a Download Festival in the UK about 3-4 years ago. And he came and he saw our set, obviously. And so then I think he and Glenn got to talking later on. And so there was some conversation about it. But to be honest, that's how long ago it was. And that's the last I remember hearing about it. But I'm also, I say I like to have one foot in the band, one foot out, because obviously I was a fan before I joined the band. I would love to see it happen from the fans' point of view, and obviously I'd love to play on it, on the tour. So I'm going to reiterate your suggestion to the band when I see them next week and say, hey, there's a rumor out there, and we should try and really make this happen. So good idea.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. If you're just joining us, we've been chatting with Scott Travis. He's the drummer of heavy metal sensation band Judas Priest. They're going to be in town at the Mission Ballroom in Denver on September 29th, and it's going to be a fantastic time. Scott, I want to thank you so much for hanging with us, and if there's any final words for our listeners you might have, now's the time.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Can't wait to get out to the Rockies, as you guys call it, and somebody give me a doctor. All right, Dr. Decibel, thank you very much, man.
Hey, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We're going to jump back into the tunes. I'm your good buddy, Dr. Decibel. We've been chatting with Scott Travis from Judas Priest right here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.